You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins, who is the Director of Leadership here at Lifeway Christian Resources. We also have our regular co-host.
Holla at your boys.
Brad Lominick.
There he is.
Who is drinking a can of something that looks like Diet Dr. Pepper.
I'm telling you.
And I'm suspecting it has something else in it.
It's pure Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's pure Diet Dr. Pepper.
Right. Yeah. Pure.
Just based on behavior.
I got this from the corner booth up in the executive tower.
The executive suite.
Here at Lifeway.
That's right.
You have to have multiple passwords and eye scans.
Yeah, there's a retinal scanner.
Yeah.
They actually do a DNA test to let you in.
And yet
somehow they let Todd in. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Hey.
I've tried to break in there multiple times and been cuffed and stuffed.
Well, Eric Geiger's assistant is trained in jiu-jitsu and doesn't let things like that
happen. She'll drop you like a sack of dirt.
That's right. Like a hot rock, as we like to say in Oklahoma.
You say strange things in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. No offense, Oklahomans.
I've always wondered why you say drop you like a hot rock.
I have never held a hot rock.
I haven't heard that either.
You don't want to hold a hot rock, but
no. I guess it makes sense.
I've heard hot potato.
No, hot rock.
Okay.
Just keep that one in your, put that one in your tool belt, folks.
All right.
You're going to want to use that.
Well, pertaining to nothing we've been talking about, our subject for the day.
If you haven't dropped us like a hot rock yet.
That's right. If you haven't turned this off.
See how I use that? See what I did?
Well done. Is about having high character.
Boring.
Building character. Yes. Now, when I think the first question to ask on this, because we've heard a 100 times on this podcast about how important it is for leaders to have character. Your grandma said that eating your vegetables builds character. Brad is a character.
Yes.
So what is character comprised of in a leadership context?
Todd?
I was just waiting for you to sing a song.
The less you guys talk, the worse it looks for you right now. So I would suggest jumping in.
Yeah. Oh, character, yes. Why is it important? Well, I mean, here's the big thing. As Barnabas has pointed out, everybody talks about character, but they don't talk about what character is.
Right.
So that is, while at first glance, sounds like something that's easy to navigate, easy to identify. I would challenge that it is not as easy to identify as you think. Because when I look back and I think about scripture and I think about some guys that were really good at living a life that was outwardly perfect, would be like, you know, Pharisees.
Not high character, though.
Not high character. But you can't really, how would you assess that?
Right. So character is something more than right behavior. It's a word that comes to mind when I hear character is integrity.
Yeah.
The sense that there's an honesty there. There's a, I don't know if transparency is the right word, but there's a consistency that the behavior that you show in public is the behavior that you are in private in terms of whatever moral standards you put forth. But they have to be right and high moral standards, because I think morality is also a piece of character. I mean, you can't be a high character person if you're consistently immoral or subpar.
When somebody says to you about another person, man, that person has a lot of character to them, then I think the way you would describe that would be what you just said, Barnabas. Like they have humility, they have a sense of integrity, they have. They're trustworthy. They're honest. There's deep sense of loyalty.
Right.
Morality is a good
motive.
Word.
Yes. I think there's a question of motive here, because it's about when I'm trying to get someone to do something. My children, for an example, we have a tendency to want. I just want them to behave. I just want them to act right. I just want to get this result. It's about behavior. And when you get into a moralistic, we have a tendency not to root in scripture and not to root in really the heart of a child or of a person. And it's all about changing the behavior versus changing the motive.
Well, according to Webster's, the definition of character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So that's pretty blasé.
Well, and that's why I use the modifier high character as opposed to just character, because everybody has character of some variety.
Yes.
Because
you can't not have character.
Yeah, you can have garbage character. You can have dishonest. You can be a dishonest character. There's all sorts of things. I think you mentioned motivation, Todd. I feel like the motives of a high character person are always looking for the greater good. In a business context, that could be business wise. But I mean, they're looking at all of these moral standards. Okay, so how do we honestly, humbly handle a situation that is in everybody's best interest? So there's, it's not a greedy or dishonest kind of thing. They're willing to make sacrifices to arrive at the right end, as opposed to just doing what suits them. I mean, a high character person is not, they don't put themselves and their own best interests before everybody else's. And as a leader, that means you're putting the people who follow you above yourself many times. Yes. Or if you're in a business dealing, you're not just trying to fleece the other person for all you can. You're trying to come out where everybody is satisfied with a deal. So, I mean, just these, I feel like these are marks of high character, even if they don't necessarily define it. I feel like character is one of those things you know when you see it.
Right.
But trying to define it in a sentence is really, really difficult.
You can also define character as a person in a novel, play, or movie.
That's kind of where I started with you. I said Brad is a character. Yeah. He is living out
his
own reality.
The two definitions of character that first come up, one is the true you. The other one is a fake you.
That's deep.
So there
that's
is,
why we
there's,
have you here.
There's a level of character that, even in the way it's defined, is somebody you're playing
right.
That is not really the true you.
And I think the thing that we're trying to get at is you want to be the true you, but you also want to aspire for that to be the best and most upright and noble version
of you. At the end of the day, as a follower of Jesus, the spiritual framework of your character then suddenly changes to modeling what is character of Jesus look like.
Right.
So that's a whole nother level of not only like morality, but also accountability.
Yeah, I mean, I think Christian character. I mean, I used high character. Christian character would be something that's much easier to define because yes, you're looking at a specific set of standards, a specific example.
Would that be the fruits of the Spirit that would define proper Christian character?
I think that's more of the outcome of your character.
I was just thinking biblical framework in general because you've got fruits of the Spirit, you've got love your neighbor as yourself, you've got the Ten Commandments. There's a number of instances in Scripture that define what a person of Christian character, of God honoring character, does and is. So shifting more specifically to a leadership context, can a leader lead effectively without having high character or Christian character?
We're only on our second question.
Hello,
really.
How do you define effectively?
That is why I phrased it like that, because yeah. I think that needs a little teasing out.
Yeah, I think that you can lead effectively without having high character.
If
in a business context and you are selling widgets and the goal is to sell as many widgets and make as much profit as possible, I think that there are people who can lack character and integrity and not only survive, but even appear to be extremely effective in that. I don't think that is good.
I think if leadership is, as we've defined it on this podcast before, leadership is about developing other leaders.
Yeah.
Then that's it is not, nearly impossible to do without high character unless you develop a whole bunch of mimics of yourself, and so you're developing a whole bunch of other low character leaders. That's possible because people, if you appear to be successful people will imitate you.
Oh, totally.
But if you are trying to intentionally develop somebody in their leadership, that takes character because that's an investment from you to them. There's a sacrifice there, and there's usually a motivation of wanting to help them, and you, that's not a high character motivation.
It really depends on what the vision and values are of your organization. Like I said, if your vision and values is to make money, then you can do that without having high character.
Now, or even be creative and invent and things like that. I mean, people can be geniuses and lead very effectively in those ways and have no character whatsoever. They can be utter tyrants but be geniuses. And there is an effectiveness in that leadership, but it's not really people leadership. No. It's goal-oriented leadership.
And that's what I'm saying. It's all business in that case.
Yeah. It comes back to how do you define successful or significant exactly. leadership. Mm-hmm. And if that is about helping other people thrive and flourish, then, you know, the most effective way to do that is obviously with character and with high character.
Yeah. If your organization wants a dynasty, then in whatever field it is in, I think you've got to focus on having people with character, because if not, you're not going to nobody wants to work for somebody who does not have character. Yeah. Period. Well,
and you can even see like the low character leader being successful in the church world, and we see it all the time. Yeah. Where a church explodes around the personality of a pastor who is dynamic, who's a great speaker, who's a draw, who does not have high character. They treat people like garbage. They're dishonest. You know, they have something going on in their personal lives that they're hiding, whatever it is. And so, but by some measure of success, they appear to be successful. They're drawing a crowd. The church has a huge building. I mean, there are all the marks of success by one set of measures. And yet, on the other hand, you know that the church, the church culture, the staff culture, those kinds of things are usually shriveling up and dying.
And, you know, I would say we would all say we knew guys who fallen or done something crazy that we never in a million years would have thought. I mean, they had us all fooled.
Right.
They appeared to be a person of character, and they weren't. And I would say character leaks. Character leaks if you do not
bad character cultivate.
Well,
you no, just mean saying, like if you're I'm not saying, filling it up, it's not, draining out.
If you're not cultivating your character, if you're yes. not having difficult conversations with God
right.
and difficult conversations with people mm-hmm. who are in your mess, then over the course of time, character leaks. And you can find yourself in a place where you never thought doing things that you never thought you would do.
And I've heard Andy Stanley say this. Pretty much everything I say is because Andy Stanley said it at one time. But he would
or
say,
John Maxwell.
Or John Maxwell, yes.
Or John,
you know, when your competency
three peas in a pod.
When your competency starts to exceed your character, yeah. you're in trouble. And many of us in leadership, you start to rise in influence and power and authority and opportunity and title and role, and all of a sudden what seemed like in your early days you had this deep foundation, mm-hmm. now starts to shallow, and all of a sudden your competency is your talent, your skill set has gone up, but your character has stayed the course or declined. And now you're in that place where you are the man or the woman. You do have the talent or the skill set that everybody wants to not only like admire but also right. applaud you and celebrate you. And so most people who get taken out of the game never sat down in the early days and said, you know, one of my goals is that I will lose my character at some point.
Yeah.
They just had a moment where all of a sudden their opportunity and their competency level they needed got so big that they forgot about the foundation. Yeah.
And what you just said brings me back to question one in terms of what is character comprised of. One of the things that we didn't mention is self-awareness. The idea that I think part of character is knowing yourself well enough to know what you can and cannot handle and what temptations you will face. Because as your star rises as a leader, you will face different temptations. And if your character, if you don't have the awareness to know, I need to build either guardrails or strengthen my heart, my faith, those kinds of things. Those things will overwhelm you when you get there.
And especially today, we live in an age where you will get found out.
Yeah, there's no secrets.
It's hard to hide anymore. You used to be able to push a lot of things behind the curtains, but not today.
Yeah, let's hit our third question, and this one, Todd touched on this earlier, so I think this is an important question, because you mentioned leaders who you never would have thought lacked character, but then they crumble and fall, and you're very surprised by it. So, what are the marks of a leader who is lacking in character? Are those things you can sort of neatly list out?
He has no circle, or he has a circle of yes men. That's a pretty good indicator.
I mean, there's the obvious ones like
a lack of accountability.
Lack of accountability.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious ones like he treats people like garbage. He thinks he is superior to those around him.
Or that there's a treatment of people that can provide him or her something in return.
Sort of manipulation.
Yes. Yeah. That you're only interested in the people that can. In the transaction are going to provide you the greatest return.
Yeah, transaction instead of relationship.
The self-awareness.
Dave Ramsey who used that one on here?
He did. He said something about transactional.
Versus relational.
Relational.
Yeah, yeah. And the high character leader is going to be more. Yep. Is going to be more relational as opposed to just trying to gain out of an interaction.
Todd, you said something earlier, and I won't say who you said it about, but you said you had met someone and the feeling you got was that when they didn't know who you were,
yes,
they treated you like you were a low-level minion.
Yeah.
As soon as they found out your title,
yeah,
all of a sudden the game changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were Brad and I were having a
we were conversing.
Wonderful
gossiping.
No.
Not a character trait of a leader.
We were not gossiping. We were talking about different young leaders and how they were growing in different platforms. And I said about this person, hey, when I first met them, I didn't think much of them because they didn't seem to think much of me. And not because I'm somebody, but because when, you know, the whole idea of the way you treat people who can do nothing for you.
Right.
Says a lot about your character.
Yeah. Right.
Says a lot about who you are, what you value, and character. So I just said, hey, you know, this guy didn't start treating me differently or talking to me or acknowledging my existence or anything like that until he found out my title and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just hard because, you know, I don't want to ever be that guy, and I don't want to.
Well, an interesting one because a person of character does not walk into a room thinking everybody here ought to treat me with, you know, X level of respect. They only notice that's happening when people change. So, like, you probably didn't think anything of it when he was just sort of like, oh, that's a guy. But as soon as he started treating you with more respect because he found out your title, it created that sense of like, oh. He has some sort of standard that guy's now worth it where you weren't worth it before. Yeah. And I have run into that situation a lot because of my last name.
What's your last name?
My last name is Piper. Some people may know who my father is. And if you don't, that's it.
It rhymes with Dawn.
Got it.
Not the 90 Minutes in
Ron,
Heaven guy.
Ron Piper.
Yes. Piper. Uncle Ronnie.
Do you really have an Uncle Ron?
I don't.
He does.
Oh, I wish you did.
Rowdy Ronnie Piper.
That's Roddy.
Roddy, yeah.
Also Waddy Piper, who wrote The Little Engine That Could. People don't know who I am. They treat me just like anybody else, which is the most reasonable way to treat me. And then if they find out what my last name is, all of a sudden I go up in their estimation and I have not changed one bit since they met me.
Yeah.
And that makes me look askance at them because they clearly have a standard of valuing people that's not based on who the person is. It's based on, in this case, some idea of, I don't know whether it's fame or what it is, but it is a very strange thing. And so a leader of high character is not going to treat somebody differently because their dad is somebody or because their title is something, but simply because they're talking to them. They want to know them. There's a relational capacity there.
I think, too, that somebody lacking a character, and I always think of, you know, you hear this a lot, advice, if somebody says, I would never go into business with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, why is that? Well, typically that's a lack of trust.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, what is the mark of somebody lacking in character is
you don't trust them.
Yeah, they're not trustworthy.
Or you say, is this person genuine?
Right.
Yeah.
And if I think you're genuine, then that means that says a lot about your characters.
Well, yeah. That's a hard thing to put your finger on, because sometimes it's not that they've done anything to make you doubt them. They haven't lied to your face, they haven't done anything, but there's just a sense of they're holding back, they're not telling me something. There's something that's not transparent and forthright about that person. And I think trusting your senses on that is pretty wise, because that can rarely are you going to feel that way about somebody who's completely honest, because honesty shines through.
And just the good news about character, I think, it's in many ways, is it doesn't take talent to be a person of high character. Anybody can get an A+ in character. It doesn't require you to have this pedigree. It doesn't require you to have you can any person who walks in and says to in any environment, any situation, any team, I'm gonna live out character in the best possible manner. Mm-hmm. You can actually do that.
Yep.
You can you can live that out.
And if you're in an organization that appreciates that, it's very, very visible. I mean those people pop.
Yeah, it's actually good for your ability to be promoted,
right,
to take on more leadership, yep, to have more influence. So this is good news, because those of us who grew up in Oklahoma, like myself, and didn't, you know, I mean, I'm just an average Joe. But I can become an extraordinary Joe by having good character.
Yeah, and I think an aspect of that is how people with high character lift others up. I mean, a theme that has come up in this podcast repeatedly is that there's always a place for somebody who's developing other people. And so high character people are constantly investing in others, and everybody wants that person around. You want that person on your team. You want to work with them. You want to go into business with that person.
Yeah. I mean, not all of us are the son of John Piper, Todd.
No.
You and I grew up in Podunkville.
One stoplight in the county.
Huh? Come
Not
on.
The town.
But we can be men of high character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still working
equal
on
opportunity.
It. But you can.
Yeah.
I can. That's the potential. No. There's a lot of potential there.
It's in progress.
Yes, as it will continue to be forever for all of us, I would imagine. All right, let's hit our fourth question. What happens over time to an organization that's led by somebody who lacks character? Mm-hmm. What is the organizational effect? Maybe cultural effect? I love sound effects. It's like fun.
That was a combined.
Yeah.
Did you see what we did there?
Yeah, it was like a double splash at the end of that one.
Yeah, yeah. And it might take longer than that little 4-second drop from the top. Down into the abyss and then explosion. But I think that's pretty much I don't know if Jim Collins has ever had any data from his books on leaders without character, mm-hmm, and what they do to organizations. But eventually you will pull it down into the areas where the danger zone is happening.
The other thing is you're only going to attract people without character.
Right.
I mean, ultimately
like attracts like.
If you have character, it's really difficult to work with somebody or for somebody that doesn't have character.
I mean, we all remember the story of some of the obvious financial crisis of 2008. Lots of organizations that were being propped up by leaders who had questionable character, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know all the stories specifically.
Are we allowed to say names?
You also have Enron.
You can if they were criminally convicted of things.
Yeah. Who were you going to mention?
I was going to say Enron.
Yeah, I mean, Enron to me is a. You know what's interesting? I don't know if I've ever even shared this, but I went and met the CEO back when I was involved with Life at Work magazine, and we somehow got connected to Ken Lay,
mm-hmm,
who was the I believe that's the right name.
Yeah,
he was the CEO of Enron, and. He was actually seemed like a great guy, high character. And it's interesting to, in that situation, and again, I don't remember the story, but so many times leaders with high character, because of the pressure that starts to mount, that foundation was not secure enough. It's
right.
like the bridge that, you know, you didn't put the cement slabs down deep enough, and it starts to buckle. It starts to unravel, and then, you know, you lose a few, you know, you start to pop some of those lines.
Pop a rivet.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're shaky. So, like I said earlier, I don't think many of us ever start and say, if one of my goals in life can be that I can be known as the person with the least amount of character.
I feel like loss of character is like bleeding to death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah.
It's tiny little things over time that end up weakening you dramatically. I mean, you brought up the financial crisis. That's another instance also of what Todd was talking about earlier, how you can lead very effectively if your goal is money. But to answer this question, what happens over time? You get all those financial institutions that were handing out adjustable rate mortgages and whatever else, and it built a bubble that when it burst, it crushed them, and it crushed a lot of other people too. And that was their pursuit of money. And so for years, they did really well. They did well for stockholders. They did well for themselves. They were filthy rich. So by that measure of effectiveness, they were doing great. But the lack of character to say, this is not the best way to handle this. This is not in everybody's best interest. This isn't the right long-term solution, ended up completely crumbling them. And I think that's what you see over the long haul in any organization that lacks character, or where the leaders lack character in any area.
Yeah.
Because it could be dramatic like that, or it could just be a slow sort of fade to black.
There's always that lack of transparency that you start to see. That's the people, you mentioned this, Todd, earlier, like the people of character pretty quickly see the writing on the wall and start to exit stage They're right. Dying. And then, or they get fired or moved out to bring in people who not necessarily don't have character. They just don't have strong enough character that will stand up to
the yes
character
men.
That's questionable.
Yep. You know, I think something too to point out here when we're talking about the long-term effects would really be that, I mean, you guys know how much I love sports, right?
Tons. I mean, you're kind
the
of a
avid.
Sports.
Okay.
You're kind of a sports fiend, so, from what I can
I think
was
junkie,
a gather.
Junkie is the term.
Yeah, there was a cartoon that I remember drawn of Sammy Sosa right after the cracked bat incident. And it was basically the bat was, you know, splintered into 1,000 pieces, and it had credibility on the bottom. And I just think—
That sounds like a New Yorker cartoon or something.
It probably was. Or Atlantic, I'm not sure. The thing about that is— You can have an amazing career. You can have an amazing track record of leadership.
Yeah, good stats.
And,
yeah.
And grow. And you may have done great things that should put you in the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose, or other people. And
I'm with you on Pete Rose.
One thing happens.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you slip in an area. And your character suffers, but your credibility is gone.
Right.
The instances that you just brought up, I mean, any of these leaders we look at, influencers we look at who have fallen in some major way, you know, we called it death by 1,000 paper cuts, whatever it is, there's always a compartmentalization. That piece, that area of decision making, because they may be doing really well in other areas of their life. They have rationalized one piece of their life, and it ends up having this massive trickle down effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just if a person has an affair in their marriage, very few people just make the decision that I am going to do this. They just stop making the decisions that keep them from doing that.
Yeah.
And then it's the gravitational pull of temptation and sin, which I think sets up our fifth question, which is what are practical ways to maintain and build character? Because I think you have to do both. Yeah, I mean, maintaining is just fixing all the cracks that keep showing up, and building is we have to get stronger over time, or because life is going to get harder. There will be new temptations, all that stuff we talked about earlier.
I think it's what I was talking about in the beginning, being willing to ask yourself tough questions and deal with that yourself, and having people around you that will ask you those tough questions, so that if you do get in a situation where you stop listening, where you stop doing that, where you stop listening to God, where you stop listening to, you're not self-regulating, that they will be like, hey, what's going on here? You're kind of slipping. There's something going on. Yeah. What is it?
I call that the grill club. People, a small circle of people who will get in your grill. Not that you grill with. You might grill with them, but these are people who will get in your grill.
It's a good way to have conversations.
The grill club. And these are folks who will call you out, who know you well enough to know when you're totally faking it.
Yeah.
And totally putting up a facade.
And the higher you go in leadership, the harder it is to have those people because you need
something from you.
Well, because it's easy to do with peers. If you view somebody as your equal, it's much easier to look them in the eye and say, shape up. If you view somebody as your superior in any way, it's much harder to do that. And so I think if you are in a high position of leadership, you probably need to go outside of your field of work so that these people don't give a rip about what you do, and also give them really explicit permission and ask them repeatedly, will you please be aggressive with me, or as aggressive as needed.
Yeah. And when they do bring something up,
Don't
CEO them or don't dismiss it.
Right.
And then actually, thank them for it. And be sure that they understand that you're grateful that they brought it up. Yeah. Even if you may not even agree with them, they got this one wrong.
Yeah.
You still need to. But
you listen, and if they got it wrong, you can give them a humble, valid response that will show them that you are tuned into what they're saying. You're not blowing them off.
Yeah. Private life determines public legacy, right? I mean, the internal always pushes and leads towards the external. And just that idea that you're inside, the who you are is creating the what you do. Your private life is determining your public legacy, your public impact. That's a inside out. I mean, we hear that. We know that as believers, like that's important. But so much of the building of character is a mindset that says, I'm going to work on me and work on who I am constantly. So we think because we're brought up in school in our 20s, like, spend that time working on who you are. But those aren't necessarily the times that you lose character.
Right.
You start losing character in the middle of the process, like at mile 13 of the marathon,
right,
or mile 14. And so my challenge is, in many ways, like those of us who are later in life or the middle of the journey, you've now got some influence. That's when you need to work on building the foundation, I think, even more or equally as much as you did in the early days of creating who you are.
I think one of the scariest things about lacking in character or losing character is the hard-hearted piece, because we do not control our own hearts the way that we think we do. And if we do not maintain a soft heart, it will get hard much quicker than we realize, which means that even if people are coming to us and saying, hey, I see something you should work on, we stop listening. We start rationalizing our way out of scripture. We can find a reason not to listen to any good piece of advice, and we become our own director and our own God. And so I think, and this is something that I have learned the hard way and tried to be disciplined in, is asking God for a soft heart and for discernment all the time, because otherwise nobody's advice matters to you. Otherwise no scripture matters to you, unless you have a heart that can absorb those things and that's willing to say, to maintain humility and say, I'm worse than I think I am, and I really ought to listen, and I really ought to learn, and I really ought to change. And so just that daily asking for a soft heart and humility is just a foundational piece for any character.
Otherwise, I mean, so many people, their beliefs are informed by their behavior, not the other way around.
Right.
And so it's really important to say, once you believe something or want to believe something because it falls in line with your behavior, you're in a really, really, really dangerous spot.
And you got to.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
No question. I would just add too to what, I don't remember who said it just a minute ago.
I'm sure I did.
You probably did, because it was so good. Hashtag greatness. The idea that you just are constantly pushing your life into the public places. So you're working on your private life. You're you're working on the internal, on the who of you, but you're allowing as many people as possible to see what's really happening. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, part of that is accountability. It's also just that sense that everything in your life, as much as possible, is transparent.
Yeah.
It, because the less you're hiding, the more likely you are to not have anything to hide.
Yeah. And there's a real fine line between privacy and hiding things.
Right.
I mean, there's exactly. It's good to process some things privately and not to be overly public and overshare. But there's a real fine line between that and starting to keep things from people that you ought to ask for help with, or you ought to get people's input on. And those are the things that will end up becoming. I mean, it's like the little kid story, the little white lie. It starts small and then it becomes monstrous over time as it grows, and you have to cover for it and those kinds of things.
Wait, have you guys read anything, or is there any, like, going back to the practical ways? I mean, obviously scripture and reading the mm-hmm. Bible and digging into the Word. But is there any other books that you've come across or resources?
There's nothing.
Wasn't there the book called The Case for Character? I feel like I've read that before.
There's a Case for Christ.
Yes.
Maybe it was Lee Strobel too.
I think it was something like that. And then, we just had a conversation with Eric Geiger not too long ago, and he referenced a book, and I cannot remember the title of it. I'll find it and put it in the show notes, about a book that talked about basically how character pays off for a leader. It's the business case for character. How
it's completely secular business.
Yeah, book. He sort of laughed and was like, it's funny how when secular researchers verify things that Christians have been saying for thousands of years.
Right.
But the idea that character will actually strengthen a business over time and profits and customer relations and all these things, which seems fairly obvious. But I think Spiritual Leadership by Sanders is a book that is a character driven book throughout. I mean, there's stuff about skills in there, but it's about the soul of a leader, and it's really, really good.
Well, especially if you take the time to read the scripture references, it's a book that's come up at least a dozen times on the podcast.
What's that? I mean, it's a staple,
a classic.
Yeah.
So, and you know, going back to that, it's really hard to be in God's Word every day and ask for, you know, opening your heart and opening your Bible. It's really hard to do that on a daily basis and not be moved in some way.
Well, I know too, for me, I hope one of the best ways I've found to build my own character is to see it in others. And so that idea that you're around people who have high character, because in many ways, character is, even though it's internal, it's also created and built through osmosis.
Yeah, be around people who raise the bar.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. There's people that every time I spend time with them, I'm like, convicted.
Yeah, you're convicted, and then you're challenged to be higher, hit a higher level in your own character.
Bob Russell, David Platt.
Brad Lominick. I mean, the list goes on. Barnabas Piper.
Well, thanks for throwing me in there. Throw me a bone. I think one other habit that comes to mind, because we were talking about books. Most Christian, like Christian living, personal growth kind of books deal with characters. One of my favorites is Tim Keller's book, Prodigal God and Counterfeit Gods. Yeah. Both of those. Counterfeit Gods especially, where he just talks about dealing with idolatry. That is a character book. But any book that deals with your soul in any way is dealing with character, and there's a direct tie to how you lead and how you work. And I think we should probably wrap this up. We could, I'm sure we could go on recommending books for a long time, but we should land this plane. So more sound effects. I just hope this one doesn't crash. Okay. That's bumpy landing, but, you know, we're still working it out. But thanks so much for listening, y'all. Jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. We would appreciate it. And tune in next time.
Come on.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, where you can download the e-booklet for free.